Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is entitled, In the Name Of, and it is based off of Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, and Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Let us dive into the Word today. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Amen. How many of you have heard of the Athanasian Creed? I'm sure you've heard of the Apostles' Creed. Some of you may have heard of the Nicene Creed. But how many of you have heard of the Athanasian Creed? Written in the late 400s and early 500s AD, this affirmation of faith deals mostly with the Trinity. It proclaims, in part, and I quote at length, Now, this is the Catholic faith. That we worship one God in Trinity and the Trinity in unity, neither blending their persons nor dividing their essence. For the person of the Father is a distinct person. The person of the Son is another, and that of the Holy Spirit still another. But the divinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one, their glory equal, their majesty co-eternal. What quality the Father has, the Son has, and the Holy Spirit has. The Father is uncreated. The Son is uncreated. The Holy Spirit is uncreated. The Father is immeasurable. The Son is immeasurable. The Holy Spirit is immeasurable. The Father is eternal. The Son is eternal. The Holy Spirit is eternal. And yet, there are not three eternal beings, but there is one eternal being. So too, there are not three uncreated or immeasurable beings, there is but one uncreated and immeasurable being. Similarly, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Spirit is almighty, yet there are not three almighty beings, there is but one almighty being. Thus, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, yet there are not three gods, there is but one God. Thus, the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord, yet there are not three lords, there is but one Lord. Just as Christian truth compels us to confess each person individually as both God and Lord, so Catholic religion forbids us to say that there are three gods or lords. The Father was neither made nor created nor begotten from anyone. The Son was neither made nor created. He was begotten from the Father alone. The Holy Spirit was neither made nor created nor begotten. He proceeds from the Father and the Son. Accordingly, there is one Father, not three fathers. There is one Son, not three sons. There is one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. Nothing in this Trinity is before or after. Nothing is greater or smaller. In their entirety, the three persons are co-eternal and co-equal with each other. So in everything, as was said earlier, we must worship their Trinity in their unity, and their unity in their Trinity. Anyone who desires to be saved should think thus about the Trinity. But it is necessary for eternal salvation one also believe in the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ faithfully. So, now that we've cleared that up, we can all go home, right? Now that the Athanasian Creed has been, at least in part, presented before us, and trust me, it does go on from there. But now that we've gotten that part of the Athanasian Creed under our belt, the Trinity has never been clearer, right? I mean, I could read you more as the wordy creed continues on from there, but for your sake, I won't. In truth, no amount of words put together could ever fully help us wrap our minds around the mystery of God and God's triune nature. Still, on this Holy Trinity Sunday, it is important to understand what the Universal Church believes about the essence and nature of God, because it keeps us from straying away into theology that counters what Christ taught and what Christians through the last two millennia have believed, and that is important. There are people who are like, "Oh, doctrine, all you need to do is believe in God and be a good person," which A, is a doctrinal statement, and two, is a bad doctrinal statement, because we know from Scripture, from our own experience, that none of us can truly be good people apart from God, and that it takes more than just believing in God and being a good person to inherit salvation. We know this. So the modern idea of we don't need doctrine is always followed by doctrinal statements. In fact, we don't need doctrine is a doctrinal statement. So it really is silliness. But it is important that we know what we believe as Christians and why we believe it. And it's important that we not stray from the teachings of Christ, as well as the teachings from the church, which are the Christian witness throughout the last two millennia. Some people have long questioned, and some denominations have even rejected the Holy Trinity, namely because the word Trinity is not in the Bible. And this idea that things have to literally be in the Bible for us to believe them as truth really comes out of the Protestant Reformation, oftentimes for good, but sometimes we take that to an extreme. The word Trinity was not found in the Bible explicitly, and the creedal formulations that we see in the creeds are not in there explicitly. Like, nowhere in the Bible will you find the Athanasian Creed. Not in part, not in whole. You just won't. Yet, with that said, it is serious error to think, just because you cannot find the exact wording of the creeds in the Bible, that the creeds are not based on Scripture. And there are people who are of this mindset. It doesn't say Trinity in the Bible. It doesn't say of the same essence, co-equal with God. Therefore, that isn't based on Scripture. It was made up by people, and we need to throw it out the window because it has no place in our faith. That sort of thinking, that black and white thinking, is seriously an error. Everything in the creeds are based on what is found in Scripture. For instance, the word Trinity might not be explicitly in Scripture. However, in our scripture reading today, Jesus commanded his disciples to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That, my friends, is the makeup of the triune God. Amen? That is exactly what we find in the creeds. The Son, according to Jesus in the Gospel of John, was begotten. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Son, according to Jesus in the Gospel of John, was begotten, not made. And as the Word of God, the Son was in the beginning with God and was God. If we remember John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And his pre-existence is confirmed by Paul in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. The Son also is confirmed as being of the same essence of God by Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. So as you can see, and we can take this point by point, it may not be explicitly in there word for word, but when we compile scripture together, we see the basics of the Christian doctrine within scripture. And this is exactly how the early church fathers and early Christians were working. They were reading scripture and piecing these doctrines together out of scripture, out of the Christian witness, out of the teachings they had learned, and piecing it together in a coherent way that stated our beliefs so that we were unified in what we believed, in the essentials, at least, of what we believed. So it is in serious error to reject these creeds just for the sake of them not being explicitly in scripture. And as a Methodist Christian descended from John Wesley, who started the Methodist movement, we in the United Methodist Church and other Methodist denominations affirm the Holy Trinity because the tradition really does fall in line with Scripture, and because the witness of countless Christians from time immemorial cannot simply be discounted and tossed aside. With that said, creeds and right belief are not all that matter. They are important, and they matter greatly, but they are not all that matter. Creeds and confessional statements alone do not inspire people to live like Christ, nor do they convince people to love like Christ. Athanasius himself, to whom the creed is named after, he didn't write it, but it was attributed to him, Athanasius himself got a little too fiery in his defense of right doctrine and dehumanized people in the process. I mean, he was right for defending the faith, and if you don't know who he is, Google him. Athanasius, A-T-H-A-N-A-S-I-U-S, Athanasius. He was right for defending the faith, but his tactics and the other side were no better, truth be told, but his tactics were not always the most Christ-like. Right belief must be balanced with right behavior. We are not only to strive to understand God as revealed in Scripture, tradition, reason, and experience, but we are also to strive to live our lives according to the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ. We should confess our beliefs through the creeds, yes. We should remain faithful to orthodoxy, which is a fancy Greek word for right opinion. We should remain faithful to orthodoxy, yes. We should confess our beliefs in the name of the triune God, yes, absolutely. But we should also shape our lives in the name of the triune God as well. Now, in both of our readings today, you have right belief balanced with right behavior. Jesus commands us to go. It's an action word, a verb, right? Go. Go and make disciples in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Again, action, go, making disciples, action, balanced with in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not just about going and being active in the world, but it's about going and being active in the world for the one whom you serve. And you can only do that if you know whom you serve. and you can only make disciples for whom you serve if you're pointing them to that one that you serve. And Paul reminds us that right behavior does not come through right belief alone, but that right behavior comes from our triune God in the Holy Spirit, which dwells within us. Today, sisters and brothers, you are being challenged to grow in your knowledge of God through Scripture and through the witness of the Church Universal. And you are being challenged to grow in service of our triune God. You are also being challenged to live your faith out, to truly live it out, balancing knowledge with practical application in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As a pastor, I can assure you that wherever you are, whether you're somebody listening to this who's within my own church, or whether you're out there and you attend other churches, but I can assure you that through worship, Bible studies, mission, and ministry opportunities, there are ample opportunities for you to connect, to grow, and to lead. And hopefully, wherever you are, your places of worship will continue to offer those things. So I pray for you, sisters and brothers. I pray for you, my friends, that you will take the next steps to grow. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, it is important that we know whom we are serving. It is important that we know you intimately and we know you as fully as is possible with our finite mortal minds. But Lord, we also know that we can't ever fully wrap ourselves around you or the fullness of who you are. And so we trust that in all things there is grace and that we are not saved by right belief. Rather, we are saved by your grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we are saved by having faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and all that he has done for us. So where we fail in our understanding, give us grace, and in all things, Lord, give us grace. We pray this in the name of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, it was great to have you join in and tune in and listen to this episode. Again, it was entitled In the Name Of, and I certainly hope that you got something out of this. And of course, I invite you to come back and listen to next week's message as well. Also, check out the episode notes where there are many links and other things that you can click on. You can support this ministry by buying Life-Giving Water swag, or you can also simply support this ministry by promoting it on social media, promoting it on when you listen to your podcast. You can rate the Life-Giving Water messages. You can rate it and you can like it and review it. And so that helps this podcast get boosted up into the listing so that more people can see it and listen to it and tune in and become devoted listeners as well. Again, I thank you for listening. I really do enjoy you coming along with me for the ride and invite you to come back next week. In the meantime, friends, remember you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.